This is a HeadGum Original.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
So what's a single gal like you doing rattling around this big house?
Well, I assure you, I'm married to a man, a human one.
One. What's it mean?
We are an unusual couple.
Oh, I don't think that was ever in question.
We just don't know what to expect.
Howdy, neighbors.
Hey, buddy.
Wanda, what's up?
Who are you?
I don't know.
Something's wrong here.
Wanda, can you read me? Who's doing this to you?
Are you here to help us?
This is our home.
Then let's fight for it.
Well, I think we handled that well.
Nicole Byer.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
It's newcomers.
We're really doing, you know what? I want to say we're almost done. We've basically done
it. We are.
And we know everything now about Marvel.
We are Marvel experts.
We really are at this point. This is the 18th episode of the fifth season. We have been working our way through the MCU with the help of fellow newcomers, super fans, sometimes even people who've contributed. And now we're going to be discussing the first four episodes of WandaVision, which is available on Disney Plus. And obviously, we're going to spoil these episodes. Accept that and run with it. Okay, Nicole, what did you think of WandaVision?
Okay. Here's a hot take.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad we're coming to the end. I think I'm enjoying my time now.
Holy fucking shit.
Because I think I really liked... I did not like the first one. I said, The second one, I said, well, okay, I have to watch two more. And then the third one, I was like, wait, this is fun. And then the fourth one, I was like, yabba-dabba-doo.
That's pretty much how I felt. Because at first, I actually thought it was all going to be like sitcom style. And I was like, that's good. I like this. And then the first one, I was like, oh, no, I can't watch all of it like this. This is so not interesting, actually. And then as it progressed, and then when it became the 70s, I was like really way more interested. I was like, is it going to be the 80s? Is it going to be the 90s? I was very interested. And then when it became like, oh, it's happening in this sort of alternate reality or whatever, I really was into it. I was really surprised.
Yeah.
And people did say in advance of us watching this that like four is not enough and you're not getting the full experience. So, I mean, it sounds like we both might keep going a little bit. Am I right?
I actually might. I was like, I don't have very much to do after this. I might finish it. They're not the longest episodes.
They're not. And there also is that like 10 minutes at the end that's just credits or something, which
it's
I don't know
insane.
Why they have
I don't
10
understand.
Full minutes of credits. We're very excited for our guest today, Emma Fyfe. Emma Fyfe is a producer, writer, and host at Fandom. She was recently a cast member on D&D Beyond's YouTube Dungeons & Dragons live play series Battle for Beyond and can be seen on Dropout's game show, Actually. Welcome to the show, Emma. We're so excited to talk about WandaVision.
Emma. Very excited to be here. Thank you for having me. You know, Lauren, I was thinking about your comment about the credits and how there's just like 10 minutes of extra credits on the very end of every Marvel thing. So the thing that is a little bit of a relief about that is every time, because I was just reviewing Obi-Wan over at Fandom, and so I had to like get up and watch it in the morning because we did our reviews at 11 a.m. on, you know, technically the day that it dropped because it came out at midnight. So I would like see that an episode was 40 minutes and the Star Wars shows are the exact same way. So I'd be like, oh, okay, 40 minutes. That means it's actually only a half hour. Not so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. That is, after we've watched like hours and hours and hours mm-hmm. of these things, it's really a plus when you're like, oh, the last 10 is just credits.
The credits. And I don't have to pay attention to it.
No.
I like that they were only like, because you got the like recap, the theme song. I was like, this is only really 20 minutes of content.
It's true.
And this is my cup of tea.
It is.
Not too much information.
And I liked the characters in that 50s style. I thought it was such a unique way to take this whole franchise. Mm-hmm. It was so much more my speed. And I was like, oh, wait, we could have been doing shit like this. Or like you could take these characters
the
and put
time.
Them into like whatever you want them to do. Uh-huh. It doesn't have to be like, I don't know. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And then I liked how it did line up with, okay, my favorite movies, I guess, are Endgame and Infinity War.
Oh, my
so it
like, God.
It like lined up with the blip, and I was like, the blip!
I did feel when the blip crust was flying around the hospital, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, Nicole's happy. Because I truly was like, oh, we get more of this story. And I mean, it was good because I think that was like one of the best things that happened in the whole franchise that mm-hmm. we've watched. Like that was one of the strongest storylines. And so it's nice that it's connecting. But I think
it's interesting because if you think about like real life, if people just disappeared for fucking 5 years, we would never stop talking about
no,
it.
No.
We would talk about it forever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you went a fucking way.
Yeah. And like, what happened to you while you were gone? We had normal life here.
Yeah, we had to replace you at your job. Sorry about it.
Well, and that's the thing, too, with the whole blip and people coming back is, you know, in episode 4 of this, when Monica's having a conversation with her mom's doctor, there is like literally a, oh, no, I just fell asleep in this chair for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And now here I am again.
Yeah, I know. That was so fucking crazy. That was really sad when she comes back to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll get into all that in a very mm-hmm. deep way soon. But Emma, will you tell us about your experience with Marvel? Like, how did you get into Marvel?
Yeah.
And how familiar are you with the whole universe?
Well, I have been in the sort of nerd broadcasting space for quite some time. So it's kind of been, I've almost felt like part of my job in a way to keep up with what's been going on in all of the Marvel stuff. I was really good with like the first couple phases of Marvel of totally keeping up. And then my job kind of pivoted more into video games and less into like film and television. So I didn't necessarily feel the need to watch every single Marvel movie if it uh-huh. didn't seem all that interesting to me. But WandaVision is one that actually I did watch all of from start to finish. I actually reviewed the whole thing on a podcast with a couple of my friends called Geek Buddies because they were all men and they felt like they couldn't do a podcast that is deeply about a woman's emotional breakdown without the perspective of an actual woman.
So that's good.
Good
that's
on good. Them.
Yeah. Good boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, and when WandaVision came out in early 2021, I was a little depressed, I think.
Heard of it?
Yeah. So as I was figuring out how deeply depressed I was going on this journey with Wanda, and it was a very meaningful show to me.
Well, it feels like it was for a lot of people at the time, because everyone was talking about it, but of course, it was not something I was interested in at that point.
Yeah, it's funny. I heard so much about it, and I was like, not for me.
I know,
bye-bye.
I was like, I guess I don't get to watch that, seeing as I don't know what's going on at all. And people said you could watch it without knowing other stuff, but it feels like, and at first I was, because actually I knew that people said like it connects a lot to the whole franchise, but I was like, after the episode 1, I was like, how is mm-hmm. this connecting? I don't even see, like, they're going to make references. I don't really care if they make references. And then, you know, as we see.
But then that blip shit happened. I was like, okay. I felt like I was like in on a secret. I was like, I know about the blip.
Yeah.
Also, when it happened in Spider-Man, I was so happy. I loved the blip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, somebody on Twitter, I don't know if you saw it, Lauren, they put that whole Thanos thing to
somebody.
And I screamed.
Oh, no.
It was honestly so really good. I was so glad that person did that. That was amazing. Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. You must, Emma, you must have like be in a kind of a boys club with a lot of the stuff that you do.
You know, I am. It's really interesting because, and I think that's kind of, as I've gotten older, one of the things that has been very freeing is being like, I don't care what people think. Because as a woman, you know, in this space, you're held to a totally different standard than men are. Like, when the men don't know what's going on, it's funny. If a woman doesn't know what's going on, she's a fake nerd. And she is, they only put her here because she's a girl and she has boobs, you know? So it's like.
Oh, wow. Totally. That's funny. Yeah. I feel like for us, when we don't know what's going on, they're like, they're fucking idiots on their phones. Yeah. They're all listening.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm the like, last okay. Post-Lorne, people were, they were like, someone said they didn't mention that Captain America picked up Thor's hammer and how amazing it was. And then someone else was like, you think they remembered that no one else could touch Thor's hammer. And I was like, a lot happens in these movies. Yeah. Stuff to,
it's a lot. I can't remember that.
I actually do remember.
Okay, see, and also we don't mention everything we remember. Yeah. That's just how talking works. But I feel like...
Also, this is what? Like an hour-ish long podcast?
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
Endgame is a three-hour movie? Yeah.
We have to get through the shit, okay?
Just the highlights.
Oh my God. Seriously. Also, there was a whole thing that people were going on and on about on Twitter that I was pretty confused about. And Leah, I feel like we might need you to weigh in.
Wait, what happened?
Okay, there was... one person who was like explaining to us why
Captain Marvel,
yes, because we basically said I don't even know what we said on the show that led this person to tweet this, but basically this person was explaining
that
the reason like Captain America has existed on the normal like timeline with Peggy marries her, all this stuff, that's why his photo's on her desk. I'm like, no, I thought she just remembered him, loves him, and he's gone.
I don't understand how that could be possible, because then that would be Captain America opting to not do Captain America
and
stuff.
And also, like, wouldn't that also make Peggy Carter's niece his niece, and they were sort of almost
See, that's really fucked
thing.
Up. Mm-hmm. Hey, wait, this is huge. Not to mention, he went and visited her when she was on her deathbed. They hadn't been married the whole time.
Right. Well, no. I was going to say, too, because, like, in Agent Carter, aren't we meant to believe, Leah, that other guy is who Peggy has a thing with and marries and has children with?
Yes! This is what I've been holding back for months.
Thank you.
Wow.
Okay, so she has a whole other timeline, but then he blips back into her life and basically makes her marry him?
That's another multiverse. But he, like, blips back to before... any of the stuff in Agent Carter, I think, and then
I'm a big fan of the ABC series Agent Carter.
Me too.
So when this happened in Endgame and basically negates all of like the character growth and relationships that Peggy has had on the show, I was very hurt as like a fan. So time travels back a couple years after the end of that show.
Mm-hmm.
So in theory, she could have ended up with that guy, and then Steve Rogers shows up on her door and never mind.
Just kidding. Obviously, I'm going to go fuck Captain America.
Which is very sad and very upsetting.
Yeah. Oh, but like, what kind of message is that sending too? That like Captain America is the only man for you?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But also when that man was like, it's the same timeline, I truly was like, he doesn't understand women. There is no way a married woman would do her hair to fuck on her deathbed.
That is so funny.
So, like, I was stuck on that. She was impressing a man she had not seen in a minute.
104,
and
she
curled
her hair. It's simply not possible.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with the Captain America stuff. There's no answer given in the movie whether he went to an alternate universe or has always been Peggy's wife this whole time, and he went to just drove up to meet Bucky.
Yeah.
Mm. And Sam, the writers of the film have given one answer in interviews, and the directors of the film have given a different answer in interviews.
Shouldn't they be on the same page?
So one would hope. And the Peggy was married to him all the time negates the rules for time travel that they set up in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's frustrating.
Yeah. We were just corrected incorrectly on Twitter. Yeah. Basically, is what
I
happened. Yeah.
I mean, it's yeah. one interpretation. It's not an interpretation.
But whoever you are, you're a great
like.
Fan, and we love you.
Yes, thank you for listening. And you gave us fodder to talk about this week.
You did. That was fantastic. Okay.
Yeah, I've been waiting for someone to give a more definitive answer to that specific question for a very long time. I thought the Loki show was going to do it because it deals lot with like time travel, and they didn't really. So, I don't know.
Yeah. And
that's how they keep me hooked, I guess.
And multiverses and variants on existing people within, I guess, our timeline being the main timeline.
Right. Yeah.
Very unclear.
Well, I'm confused again.
Stream Agent Carter. That's a good show.
It is a good show.
I don't know if I will.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening, but I do feel a little interested.
Wait, is that part of the, is that canon? Agent Carter?
I guess not now, but maybe.
Okay.
Man.
Interesting.
It was on ABC.
Should we do the Daily Bugle?
Yeah.
Za-za-za! The Daily Bugle! This is our new segment. Where we're going to give a recap of what's been going on in the MCU. Ooh, Howard Stern may have accidentally leaked his involvement in the MCU related to the character Doctor Doom. Which has not been announced by Marvel Studios on a hot mic during a commercial break on his show.
Ooh, I love Howard Stern. I think he's really fun.
Is it live?
I guess he's on Sirius, so I guess he must have some live element, right? Mm. I want to put in my own news story here before we I went to California
this is my
Adventure
favorite
and I went to Marvel, Marvel Land, and I... met Loki. And let me just say that it was the end of the night. I was with my nephews who are children and I screamed out, Loki! And then he was literally being whisked away by two women dressed in costumes that were appropriate for the situation. I don't know who they were. And then I was like, please take a picture with me. Please take a picture with me. I begged him to stop and take a picture. He made a couple little jokes and then I did the picture. And then as my nephews were watching me take it, I thought, oh, they should probably take one with him too. That makes a lot more sense. And then I was like, you guys have to do it. And then one of them was like, okay. And then I was like, no. And then he was like, one for two or whatever. He said something Loki-ish. And then he did it. And that was very nice. And I loved it. And we went to the Marvel area. Has anyone else on this podcast been there yet?
I have not been to Avengers Campus.
It feels like it's very... not exciting to look at, I will say. Like, it's like just buildings, sort of. But my nephews were really into it, and there was a store called Web Suppliers that was like a Spider-Man store that my nephew was obsessed. And we wanted to wait to buy him a present there till the end, so we wouldn't have to carry it around all day. And then he kept being like, we have to go to Web Suppliers. We have to go to Web Suppliers. It was like so cute. And then my husband Mike did go to Pym Industries Kitchen, whatever, Pym's Kitchen, whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he went by himself with our baby while we went and did other activities. And it took him about an hour to get through. There was like a whole long line. He said it was basically like waiting for a ride. But the food was good at the end of the day. Impossible meat or whatever the fuck was served. And he was happy. He said it was really good. He said it was like a good
impossible
restaurant.
Impossible meat was served is maybe my favorite sentence
I don't know
of today.
In what form?
Impossible meat was served.
He definitely ingested impossible meat.
Did he get one of those? Because isn't Pym's like test kitchen, whatever, where they do the beers that like fill up from the bottom?
I'm sure he had a very interesting and fun experience. He did not really tell me anything about it, and he is napping now, so I can't get the full story.
He was like, I'm going to keep this experience for me.
Yeah. He didn't take any pictures, and that's all I know. And all the lines were really long for those rides, so we didn't even ride any of them, but maybe another day. And by the way, Disneyland has this new thing that I think is really annoying, where you can pay to like do Lightning Pass, which is the new version of Fast Pass, but it's like $20 a person at certain times. And then you're like, $100 to go on a ride faster. It's just crazy. I did do it, but it is crazy. yeah. All right. Well, okay. Next order of business in the Daily Bugle, is that Kevin Feige, whose name I still haven't figured out how to pronounce.
Kevin Feige.
18 hours into this podcast. And Marvel Studios will be at San Diego Comic-Con in Hall H this summer. It sounds like a given that Marvel would be at Comic-Con, but they opted out of Comic-Con in 2020 and 2021. So this is seen as a big return.
Well, it's because they just do all, they were anyway, just doing all their stuff at D23, like Disney's big convention.
Oh.
And then Kevin Feige had something sort of recently where he was talking about, I think it was like right when the Ms. Marvel TV show started. And he said something about like, oh, maybe we'll do an Avengers Con someday just for like people who are fans of the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Etc.
It feels like they should. I feel like that would be successful.
Yeah.
It'd be like Star Wars Celebration, but for Avengers.
What's Star Wars Celebration? Is that just a con for Star Wars?
It's a big old Star Wars convention. Yep.
Oh.
And is it like, do they honor the holiday special?
They don't honor the holiday special. And honestly, that is the biggest problem with Star Wars Celebration is they have yet to acknowledge the canonical nature of, you know, Chewie abandoning his family and
like the grandpa jerking off to that weird porn.
Yeah, network cooking shows with aliens with multiple arms. Yeah, exactly.
I like it. I might watch it again. I thought it was my favorite Star Wars movie.
I love holiday themed things. What is the holiday in it called? Does anybody remember that?
Oh, Life Day.
Thank you.
It's Life Day. Kevin Feige, though, I think it was at a home release event or something for the movie Ant-Man. And Kevin Feige was at this event. And because you just see him in the media so often, but, you know, he's not in the movie. So I'm like looking at this guy and I'm thinking, I think I know that guy from somewhere. And I literally almost like walked up to him and was like, hi, I'm Emma. I think we've met before.
He's like, we haven't met. I'm simply the man behind all of the films.
Yes.
His name we say every time and we try to say it.
I think we got it. I like Feige.
Feige.
Does not look the way I thought he was going to look.
I'm shocked as well. I just Googled him. We have never Googled
him. He looks like kind of like a superhero.
he's
a tall
man. Yeah. He looks like he might be an evil character.
Yes.
Yeah.
He frequently dresses too in the go-to superhero disguise in all of these films, which is simply a black baseball cap.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like a baseball cap with a specific logo that each one is different. He has a new one every time.
Yeah.
All right.
And he's got a really nice chin.
He does have a strong chin.
It's very defined. Do I love Kevin Feige?
Put us in the film, sir.
Please, Kevin, we like your chin. Put us in a movie.
I love it.
But truly, Kevin, if you're listening, imagine if he listened.
Can you imagine if he listened to every episode of this? Wouldn't that be maddening for him?
What if he was the one writing all of those comments about how you guys don't pay attention?
Yeah. Oh, my God. That would be so amazing.
He's just creating a bunch of different Twitter accounts to correct
you. He's so mad. Ugh. I love it.
He listens every episode to hear if you'll pronounce his name correctly.
He's like, let's see if they got it this time.
And then we did get it right. And then I said, I'll pronounce it wrong.
No.
Here's our last piece of Daily Bugle. You can now interact with Marvel characters on the Disney Wish cruise ship, which sets sail on her maiden voyage July 14th. I would never.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
One of my coworkers at Fandom, our managing editor, Eric Goldman, was at this big press event for that. I didn't even know this was happening. And then I just started seeing like pictures on his Twitter feed of this. And it is... Wow, they sure spent a lot of money on that.
I really dislike being on a cruise ship. I think I will never, ever do that again as long as I can control it.
I've never been on one.
Me neither.
I just don't see it for myself.
Yeah,
it was a very specific situation that found me on one, and I did not like it, and I was sick the entire time. So.
In my heart, I guess I knew it wasn't true, but I thought that cruises were maybe something that we're just going to die with COVID.
It seemed like they should have, like, because it was so bad at the beginning.
Yeah.
But everyone wanted to get
stranded,
back on.
Stranded. Yeah. I guess it's like an easy way to travel and see multiple places.
But you only see them for like 2 seconds. I think I don't know about this. And you're also just trapped with all the people and like it's like a community that I don't want to be a part of in general. Ugh. I'm like, I want to be alone when I'm on vacation.
You're like in a little cabin. You know, I thought we evolved past it. You know, it's like we fly in the sky.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Why do we need boats?
I just don't like boats really at all.
I'm not a boat gal. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, that's a lie. I love a yacht. Let me jump off a yacht.
I've never been on a yacht, I don't think.
I've only been on like a, let's get on this yacht and go see dolphins. I don't have rich friends.
Yeah. No.
I would like one though.
That'd be great if someone wants, Kevin Feige wants to take us on a boat.
Get us on the marble yacht.
I'm going to go on the yacht for sure. I'm available for that and I will get sick and I don't care. it sounds so fun. Okay, well, let's take a quick break and then we'll jump into WandaVision.
If you're wondering what a NordVPN is, I'll tell you. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and online privacy. A VPN creates an encrypted tunnel for your data. Protect your online identity by hiding your IP address and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. I'm using a NordVPN myself. And honestly, it's very easy to use. You connect with one click to enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. It has amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there, and it supports every major platform. Windows, Android, iOS, Linux, even Android TV. You can switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal here at nordvpn.com/newcomers. NordVPN.com/newcomers. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Link is in the episode description.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
And we're back. Okay, WandaVision. Written by Jack Schaefer, directed by Matt Shakman, released on January 15th, 2021.
So recent.
Did they film it during the pandemic or was it before the pandemic?
I think they started before the pandemic and then resumed filming during the pandemic once they determined that it was safe to do so.
Yeah.
I want to say that in 2019, maybe at some point, they were doing some stuff on the Universal lot under a code name. I think I saw it on the production schedule. I used to be a tour guide at Universal.
So you did? My God.
Do you know Steve Slaga?
I sure do know Steve awesome. Slaga. I helped Steve Slaga get that job.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh,
great. Truly, this is a tangent, but I remember, I think we'd done a show at UCB or something, and we were at Birds afterwards and hanging out. And I was saying, and Steve Slaga was like, he had just finished being the like school manager, or whatever, at Groundlings. And we were talking, and he was like, "Yeah, I got to get a new job." I was like, "Well, Steve, we're about to be hiring for tour guides." I'd worked there less than a year, I think, at that point. And Steve turns to me and he goes, "I just really want to work at a sit down Pizza Hut." It's like, well, Steve, if you'd like to move to Nebraska,
they've got your options are limited, I think, with where those exist.
God, he's so funny.
I'd
like to work at a sit-down pizza. Yeah.
I feel like he must have been a great tour guide. Did you like doing that job?
I did. Yeah, it was a great gig. I was very part-time as I was getting more and more into doing broadcast, hosting, all that kind of stuff my last few years there. But yeah, it truly is like, it's such a great gig. Because at the end of the day, it's like I liked the people that I worked with and I worked for directly, like my direct supervisors I liked. And it was cool to, you know, I could just go on the Universal lot whenever I felt like it. Like,
yeah, that's
nobody
very fun.
Would give me trouble. I knew how to sneak into the lot, and it wasn't even really sneaking. It was legal sneaking.
And that tour is really cool with all of the like fun special effects and things.
Yeah, yeah. I worked for VIP for a long time, so like I would do the tours where we'd actually like get out and walk around and go in the prop department and all that kind of stuff. So,
oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it was neat.
How'd you get a VIP?
Yeah.
Was it all VIPs or just
actually,
people who paid
so
more?
It was mostly just people who paid more.
Okay, yeah.
But Lauren's will my money get me VIP?
Your money will get you VIP. But sometimes you would get, like, especially during, like, Halloween Horror Nights, a lot of the times would get stuff that was arranged through publicity and have the like the VIPs, which seemed to mostly be 100% based on how many Instagram followers they had. So often I would end up with people that I'm like, who is this?
Yeah. But the teens love them.
The teens love them.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, WandaVision. Okay. Now, episode one. This was called Filmed Before a Live Studio Audience. And in an homage to sitcoms like The Dick Van Dyke Show and I Love Lucy, Wanda and Vision moved to a town in New Jersey called Westview. They notice a heart on a calendar indicating that there's some significance to the date. Hijinks ensue when Wanda thinks the date is marking an anniversary and calls on her neighbor Agnes, Catherine Hahn, to help her spice things up, while Vision realizes that the date means his boss and his boss's wife are coming over for dinner. At the end of the episode, we zoom out to see someone watching WandaVision and taking notes. Okay. I mean, it's our shortest summary to date.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it truly covers everything.
Got it. Nailed it.
Yeah, I
not
didn't.
Not to say nailed it to you. That's annoying.
Hey, listen, it's okay. It's a part of the zeitgeist. I'm used to it. Yeah, I really didn't. I didn't really like this episode. I guess I didn't get it. I was like, okay, great.
Yeah, I thought like
sitcom.
As an actor, probably it was really fun to make. Like, I think that it's like a fun genre and like spoof sort of thing. And the Vision being a character in the 50s in a sitcom is like so weird that I found that kind of interesting. But in terms of keeping my attention, it was a tough one. It was a tough one. I think if I was like a Marvel fan who was just seeing this for the first time, I might have been so intrigued, like, what are they doing and where is this going?
Mm-hmm.
And that might have been really exciting. But because I already kind of knew this was a thing, I just was kind of like, what is going on and how are we going to get into making this interesting?
Yeah.
I think because I did watch it when it came out, and even without that, just, you know, liking the Marvel stuff in general, I did really enjoy this episode. And I really enjoyed the fact that the show was so bold as to just present this sitcom episode with no explanation at all.
Yeah, yeah, I did like that too. And that made me kind of excited because, like I said earlier, with like thinking, oh, Marvel, like you could take the Marvel people and do anything. And it's like, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and I also just like some of the very specific like sitcom tropes of the time that it called out. Like when Vision asks at work, what exactly is it that we do here? And they talk about the input and the output and the data, but they don't, it's like, do we make something? No. Like,
yeah.
Because I feel like that was pretty standard in sitcoms at the time that, you know, in the 50s and whatnot, that the husband would go to work all day, but you weren't really sure what the job
what
was.
They did.
Yeah. Yeah. And I liked the sort of bewitchy elements of it.
Yes.
And like, there were a lot of TV references that I got. But
the mom from That 70s Show.
And by the way,
she was
an incredible multi-cam actress. She came in with like some pro level shit with that.
Yeah.
I felt like everyone was great, but I felt like there was a sort of like performing of multicam, performing of the 50s. And she just like did it. Did you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There was a scene where she was like exasperated and she like chose to like look up and had this like dazed look on her face and then like came into the, I was like, oh, I love that. She was really fun to watch.
Yeah.
So maybe I didn't hate it, but I guess I was like, where are we going? Why? I don't
For sure.
Why?
Yeah.
I liked living in the why, I think is the.
I think everybody did, because I remember people were like, what's going on? What's going to happen? Why is it a sitcom? And I was like, I can't be bothered.
Right, and
I truly cannot.
Also, if I recall correctly, the first two episodes actually came out together.
I was just about to say that. They released like the first two or three, and then it was weekly. So that gave you a good, like, a little mini binge. And then honestly, watching the show in real time was a wild experience. It was so much fun.
Oh.
Well, because there was so much theorizing. And again, it's really interesting to revisit, especially when they have those commercial breaks and things. And people were like trying to analyze what all the commercials meant. So the one with this one and the toaster and the blinking red light is like supposed to be representative of Wanda and Pietro in Sokovia, like watching the Stark like missile or bomb or whatever it was that landed and waiting for it to go off.
Okay,
and
see, I didn't really like get any of that.
Yeah,
the commercials were like interesting because the woman in the commercials was so slow and like toned down.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is not like anything else. In the show. I don't understand why it's happening.
Yeah,
like
it was such a different tone.
Yeah. The commercials were kind of fun though. And Ithamar Enriquez, who is a Chicago improviser in all the commercials, very fun to see him. But yeah, I was wondering like, what is the meaning? But I wasn't thinking it had a meaning. Of course it does.
Oh, but of course we didn't think anything had it. We're like, we're just watching this. Someone tell us later.
Exactly.
So episode 2, Don't Touch That Dial. When you said homage earlier, Lauren, I was reading along and I was like, homage. You said homage and I was like, yep, that's how you pronounce that.
You can also say in an... Well, you could
homage.
Say it, well, you could say it differently, but now I feel like I can't say it if I say it.
I think it's
homage.
Just homage.
Homage.
Oh, homage.
Homage.
But
I don't think
like, but I think that's homage how that has been said. But homage is.
But why
I think,
does it have an H in the front?
It's well, it's a fancy word.
I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Oh, is it French?
I actually have no idea. Let's
find
out.
I assume it's French.
I don't know. Well, in an homage to sitcoms like Bewitched, Wanda and Vision navigate town events like a ladies' lunch, a neighborhood watch meeting, a talent show without revealing that they are a witch and an android. A few strange things pop up, like a red helicopter toy, a voice over the radio, and a beekeeper who emerges from a manhole. At the end of the episode, Wanda seemingly rewinds the action and changes everything into Technicolor.
Yeah, which I was glad for. Mm-hmm. I think homage, I'm saying it all weird now, but that is a way to say it. It doesn't sound right, but it is a fact. I was happy when things got in color. I was like, mm-hmm. What's the helicopter? That didn't spark anything for me.
Yeah, I was like, okay, someone was playing in her bushes.
Yeah. The ladies, was this on this episode where all the ladies were having their meeting?
Yeah, they had their PTA meeting.
I liked that, mm-hmm. And I liked the different, like, vibes of the women, like mm-hmm. The style was very fun. I thought it was just fun to look at. I was just thinking as an actor that it would be very fun to do.
Yes.
But I wasn't thinking at this point, because I was confused because I remember hearing that WandaVision went into all different genres.
Mm-hmm.
But then
mm-hmm.
I was like, we're doing two as this? Like, how long is this going to go? You know, that was a little bit, I was getting a little antsy.
I think just by nature of the fact that she is magical and she was kind of hiding that in the first episode, even though like this episode is the one that's very specifically an homage to Bewitched. The first one was supposed to be a little bit more like Dick Van Dyke Show, I think, but because again, she is magical, no matter what you do, there's always going to be a slight element of Bewitched to it, because that was the whole plot of Bewitched, was she was a witch and she
she even did a move that was like really bewitchy.
Very
when she
Samantha.
Was like, yeah, when she was like, mm-hmm. Well, it was almost a nose twitch, but then she kind of did like a hand thing when she was like trying to get the curtains to open. And I was like, that was funny. There was, I mean, I think Elizabeth Olsen is very talented. I enjoy mm-hmm. watching her, and mm-hmm. I was surprised by her in this sort of format, like how she was doing. And I also was excited for her because remember when she said that she was like kind of mad that she got trapped in Marvel because she...
Yeah, that she missed out on 2015's The Lobster.
She was like, and I probably other films that would have been more...
The Lobster. Our,
you know, everyone's favorite.
She said it specifically in an interview and it tickled me so much.
Well, because it went to the Cannes Film Festival. And so she was like, I could have been doing such art as The Lobster. But she's like... I thought, well, this is exciting because I bet she didn't think it would go here. She's had to do all this weird shit in the movies, but then she kind of gets to do something that's a little more, you know, different type of challenging as an actor, mm-hmm. which is cool.
And gotta say, the wigs were pretty good. They weren't great, but they were much better
than
the movies.
I actually felt the same way. I was going to comment on that and say I thought the wig, whoever did the wigs on this was
very,
very
nice.
Talented.
She didn't mm-hmm. do a great hairline, but she ventilated the parts enough that I knew that it was a part.
Yeah, we had that issue with some other characters.
I mean, Emma, they really hated Scarlett Johansson in these movies.
Oh,
and I
cannot
stress enough that she really wronged somebody in the hair department. It's and so in the makeup department
though.
In some of those movies.
Well, I've heard there are some actors who will like insist on wearing wigs for every role because they want to just have that hair be a set, you know, where it's just mm-hmm. done separately. They don't have to like damage their hair, all that kind of stuff.
And I'm like, and I know that they're very expensive, but I'm thinking, you're planning these movies, which make $1 billion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's almost no excuse for there to not be the most expensive, beautiful, perfect wig.
Why can't you just get a nice wig? They're available. You have the money.
And we're looking at it the whole time. It's as important as any prop or costume.
I think about the one she wore in Endgame a lot. The one where they were pretending that her hair
was growing out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, where she had like ombre hair. Yeah.
It was weird.
That was funny for me.
Oh, man. Yeah. I had that totally forgotten.
That was funny, though, because I didn't think of it as growing out. I thought of it as like she dyed it like ombre.
No, I really think they were trying to make us think that her hair had grown out in the 5 years.
A very strong choice. She started dyeing her hair back to red or whatever it was and just left the ends blonde.
I'll just leave the ends blonde. You know, that's cute.
Let's just see what it looks
real
like.
Edgy.
I love it. Okay, so episode 3 is called Now in Color. And in an homage to sitcoms like The Brady Bunch, this one I got excited for. And Wanda's hair was so good in this. I really liked this. I like 70s sitcoms. Yeah. Wanda is now several months pregnant and preparing her home for the baby with Vision. But strange power outages keep happening in the neighborhood, and Vision grows increasingly suspicious of their idyllic sitcom life. A woman named Geraldine comes to call on Wanda. Vision goes to get the doctor and has a troubling conversation with Agnes and Herb. With Geraldine's help, Wanda gives birth to twins. She names them Billy and Tommy. She tells Geraldine, and is that something?
Yeah, that is something. Billy and Tommy.
Okay.
Wait, what's Billy and Tommy is something?
Yeah, those are their children, canonically.
Oh, that she's, she's looking for
in
Marvel, multiverse.
Exactly,
she's
during
like,
Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Yeah,
that's kind of fun.
Yeah, and they also eventually become superheroes in the Marvel comics.
Wait, so they are real?
They are. They exist in the comics. I mean, like, it's a similar thing where they're real but not real, but they do get to like go on to be young Avengers, and they're one has super speed, one has witch kind of powers.
Okay.
I actually think what happens is like their souls get, this is in one version, get blown into other kids.
Their souls get blown into other kids was not a sentence I expected to hear today.
Because isn't there like one storyline where like as you say, like the souls are Wanda and Vision's children, but they had like different parents?
Okay.
You know what I like about comic books is any wish and thought you have in your brain, you put it on the paper, and everyone goes, "That's what it is." Their souls are blown into other children, knocking the souls out of these children. Who gives a shit about them?
Yeah.
But that's wild.
Yeah, they are superheroes.
Imagine being a kid and waking up and being like, "I'm now Tommy. I was Kim yesterday."
Yeah,
that's wild.
That's really crazy.
Yeah,
are they aware? I don't know.
Eventually, I think when they become superheroes, Wiccan and Speed are their names.
Oh,
Wiccan and Speed.
Yeah.
All right.
Huh.
Yep.
Well, Wanda tells Geraldine that she's a twin brother. Had a twin brother named Pietro. Geraldine mentions that he was killed by Ultron when that kind of mumbled it. And then she goes kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. When Vision comes back inside, Geraldine is gone. Outside of Westview, Geraldine is expelled from some kind of force field, and headlights surround her, revealing a base camp outside of town.
This is when I said, "Ooh, baby, now we are cooking with gas."
That is how I felt.
I was interested.
You know what I'm thinking, Nicole? This sort of feels like if you did an improv show after watching all the Marvel movies and just made it whatever you just like could go anywhere with it, say anything, you just call back all these little things. It's totally irrelevant to what we've established and how they're presented. But this is like, that was really great when she got thrown out and she's in the base camp. I was excited, but I didn't think initially that she was part of that. I thought, oh no, they're gonna like study her, poke her, and like an alien.
I watched it with a friend, and they were like, "Well, why is she wearing the sword emblem?" And I was like, "What sword?" And then I found out later, but I still don't really understand what sword is.
Well, I felt like I knew that from the way she's talking to Wanda that she's knows something she doesn't know. But when the whole thing, they're all running toward her with like their guns or whatever, I was like, this isn't normal that she's popped out here. So it seemed wrong.
Yeah, because nobody's been able to get out yet. Like, that's, yeah, which they explain in the next episode. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this whole idea of this town doesn't want people to come into it. Somehow Monica does manage to come into it and then get and becomes Geraldine. She forgets that she's Monica, but mm-hmm. then she goes back to being Monica.
And yeah. when they were like, she has no home, I was like, why is a black lady homeless in this town? Why did they do that to my friend? And then it literally didn't occur to me until the end of episode 4. I was like, oh, she doesn't have a home because she got sucked up.
She doesn't live there.
Yeah, she got blipped in,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah, it's... It was interesting, too, watching this when it aired, because as far as Marvel news went, we already knew that Teyonah Parris was playing Monica Rambeau, and then she showed up as Geraldine. So there was this big, like, what's going on
here?
That's interesting.
Yeah. Marvel had a little sneaky little fun with this.
They did.
And is this the episode where Catherine Hahn is, like, saying, she's kind of doing that wink, and she does the
yes,
whole,
she has a great wink
in this
episode.
Wink that I've seen in, like, a million GIFs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but... it's like she knows something's up.
I think everyone in their souls, they're like, something's not right. They're all fighting her enchantment.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It felt like Truman Show, where they were like,
yes,
trying to keep it under wraps, that something's... like, we're clearly standing in front of a fake tree right now.
Mm-hmm. It's like the opposite, it feels, because everyone in the Truman Show knew it was fake, but everyone here is like fighting to understand why they're all acting like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really interesting.
That is
it's
interesting.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So episode 4, we interrupt this program. A few weeks prior to the events of the series, Monica Rambeau, Teyonah Parris, who I really love. She's so pretty.
She's so
and she's like
pretty.
So talented. Mm-hmm. She's fun.
In the like first time we see her, I was like, she's
yes,
like the
I was
prettiest
like,
she's actress I've ever
seen. So good in this series.
Yeah. It's like almost not fair that she's as pretty as she, like she's so talented
right?
as well as
I
really
agree.
Pretty.
I was
like,
frustrated
and it's
by
like,
that.
You're like, well, why do you get it
yeah,
all?
You don't need to be what? This talented. Like you got the look going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not fair. The grown-up daughter of Maria Rambeau, who we met in Captain Marvel, wakes up from the blip in a hospital. And the chaos of half the world's population returning, she learns that she's been missing for 5 years and her mother has died. She returns to work at S.W.O.R.D., a S.H.I.E.L.D.-like organization where she is assigned to examine, oh no, what is that word?
Anomaly.
An anomaly?
Yeah. Mm, mm-hmm.
She got it. In New Jersey, Jimmy Woo, Randall Park.
I love Randall Park.
Reprising his role from Ant-Man and the Wasp, which we didn't see, so I didn't know Randall Park was in the universe.
Me neither.
It was a treat to see him because I love Randall.
Mm-hmm.
She gets too close to the force field surrounding Westview and gets sucked into Wanda's sitcom, becoming Geraldine. Dr. Darcy Lewis, who has not been seen in the MCU since Thor Dark World. Is that...
the second Thor.
Wait, who am I... what is her name?
Oh,
who plays her?
Kat Denning.
Yeah, Kat Dennings. I couldn't remember. Oh, my God. She's great. I love her. Is brought in with other specialists to examine the anomaly. Darcy identifies the broadcast signal coming out of the town and Jerry rigs a way to watch WandaVision. The team identifies most of the cast of the show as missing persons from the missing town. They watch Geraldine question Wanda about Pietro, and which is so funny that her accent comes back for Pietro.
I know. Is that a joke?
I was mad.
I think what it is that it's an intentional shift where Wanda's been putting on these affectations of the different sitcoms that she's in. And then when Monica brings in the concept of the real world, that's when she kind of like starts to like glitch out of her own reality into real reality. And so the accent starts to come back.
Mm. We then see what really happened. Wanda became angry and expelled her. Monica returns to base camp and we're now caught up with the events of the previous episode. It's all Wanda, she says. Back in Westview, Wanda seems to briefly remember that Vision is dead. Vision tells them that they don't need to stay in Westview, and Wanda assures him that they do, and she has everything under control.
Yeah, so she sees his head all gray with like a hole, like when he died, which was a very tragic scene.
Yeah,
but then I'm
sad.
Like, what does it mean that he's actually like, I don't understand. So this is a different timeline, sort of like what we've been dealing with, or
no? No, she's made him. She like made him up. She's like fabricated him.
She's fabricated him into this reality. And so it was the moment of, again, her being confronted with actual reality because of Monica knowing about the existence of Ultron, that mm-hmm. she then sees like Vision as he actually is, which is dead with a hole in his head. And then she rewrites the scene to be all happy in 70s sitcom.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think Monica's boss at one point says that she has stolen the Vision's body.
Yeah.
Which is not true. That is, spoiler alert, that is a lie.
Spoiler alert, Monica's boss is a dick. Yeah,
okay. Wow. Okay, well, I am interested to watch more personally.
I think I might actually finish it.
I want to know where it goes.
Me too.
There is an iconic, memeable scene from this show that happens later in the series that I was going to play, but if you don't want to be spoiled...
I kind of don't.
Okay.
I don't think I really want to be
spoiled
either.
Isn't that insane?
It's crazy.
It's a pretty fun
show. Coming to this episode, I was like, what is happening to me? Do I love Marvel now?
I know.
And I think the answer is yes. It brings everyone together.
Yeah. And I mean, I will say visiting Avengers Campus, mm-hmm. I did feel like I understood what was going on. And I felt like I fit in. I'll just say that.
Just the text message of a picture of you and Loki, I screamed before I read anything. I was like, she meant Loki. And then you were like, I screamed Loki. And I was like, oh, this is pretty funny.
I think one of my friends, when she was visiting Avengers Campus, it was like late in the day. And, you know, you walk around a theme park a long time. It was a busy day. No benches or anything to sit on. So she just sat on the ground. And I guess that like Loki came over and gave her shit about just sitting on the ground.
He's got funny. A sense of humor. I also saw Doctor Strange while I was there, but I didn't get a photo.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's happening to me? I was like, oh.
I was like, guys, to my nephews who I didn't really care. I was like, it's Doctor Strange. You want to go talk to him? And they're like, no. They're like, no. I was like, okay.
Where's Spider-Man?
Yeah. They would have been really happy. My nephew would have been thrilled if we saw Spider-Man, but I don't know if he walks around. Maybe he does.
I think there's gotta like have he a should. Spider-Man. He should. Come on.
Yeah. I know.
Wait, I have a question. So on WandaVision, his boss, he comes back for episode 2 with a new wife or no? It's the when she gives birth, doesn't his boss wait, oh that's
no,
that's
a doctor.
That's a different guy.
That's a different guy.
I just got so confused.
Nicole, did you recognize like the mean lady?
Oh yeah. Yeah, Dottie, the evil mom,
the blonde
leader. Yeah,
that's Emma Caulfield from Buffy.
Oh, from Anya. Buffy. Yeah. Yes. Also from Drop Dead Diva, Josh Stamberg, who plays Director Hayward, a television series that I loved. Was it good? I wouldn't say that. But it is about a thin woman who drives into an orange Diva. Truck, and then her soul gets sent back into a fat lady's body.
Oh.
And you know it's funny when a thin person has to be fat.
Yeah, how will she ever
Height
get
of
through
comedy.
The day?
She's always like, I'm so hungry, and I don't...
It sounds like a Tommy and Billy situation.
Hey.
Yes, a soul got whispered into a
another
fat.
Body.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with a little bit more. For the awards of WandaVision, WandaVision was nominated for 8 Emmys, 15 Creative Ooh. Arts Emmys. They won 3 of them and Ooh. 2 Golden Globe Awards, one for Paul Bettany and one for Elizabeth Olsen.
That's
really
nice.
Successful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the reception. The series was the most watched series premiere on Disney Plus and the most viewed title of January 2021 across all major streaming platforms in the U.S. That's nice.
Wow. Yeah. It was well received by critics, holding a 91% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Richard Roper called it a painstakingly crafted, impressively spot-on tribute to the evolution of the American sitcom. Wow.
And many reviewers noted that the way WandaVision explored themes of grief and loss was well-timed for audiences who were living through the, if you ever heard of it, COVID-19 pandemic.
Wow. Good Lord. Well, I can't wait to get to all of the grief and pain. So here's a little trivia for y'all. The first episode was actually filmed in front of a live studio audience. Ooh, how fun.
That is fun.
I bet COVID fucked that for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt so real. So it's like nice to know that like they didn't really have to like, you know, act like there was an audience there, that there was somebody giving something.
There's on Disney Plus, a little documentary about the making of WandaVision. And they talk about the fact that they did film it in front of a studio audience. It was really cool to see.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I just had a fleeting moment where I was like, I'll watch that too. And then it left so quickly. I was like, I simply couldn't do that.
There's not enough time in the world. Oh my God.
Each commercial references a traumatic event in Wanda's past. Dang. Mm. The Stark Industries toaster represents her parents' death. And both, wait, what?
Okay, I did feel like they were zooming in on that in a way that I was supposed to understand something.
Yeah,
but
the blinking light on the bomb that blew up and killed her parents.
Okay.
And then she and Pietro were waiting for the... I think there were like... correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there were like two bombs and the one went off and her parents got killed and she and Pietro managed to live. And then they're just like watching and waiting for the other one to explode, but it never did.
Yeah, there's like another one that they have to like stay still under like the rubble because they don't know when it's going to explode. So she has that like memory.
Yeah.
God. Well, the Strucker watch and Hydra bath soak represent how her and her brother were tortured.
Great. Cheerful.
I think my favorite commercial is the fourth episode. There's one where they reference the Lagos paper towels.
I like the juice one or the snack packs one, the like claymation one with the kid on the island.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's in like episode 6 or something. Yeah.
Ooh, fun. Yeah. Wanda's voice sang previously on WandaVision at the beginning of each episode gets progressively less cheerful.
Yes,
each
time. It does.
Wow. It was fun. That's fun. They get to play
that
a lot
is
of fun things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as she's like losing her control over her finely crafted reality.
Mm-hmm. It seems like they really took their time and did a lot of shit with this. A lot of nuances.
Mm. Yeah.
Jimmy Woo does close-up magic in his first scene, a reference to his character's fascination with Scott Lang's card trick skills in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay. Well, we didn't see that one. So that's one excuse for why we didn't get that one. Cinematographer Jess Hall used 47 different camera lenses for the 7 time periods covered in WandaVision and used lights from each filmmaking time period. See, I did think this was true. From each filming time period to align with the era being portrayed.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
It felt
that way.
Yeah, it looks really visually accurate. Mm-hmm. And also something I noticed in rewatching these episodes before recording this podcast was like the way that the barrier around Westview is, it looks, when they like try to breach it, it looks sort of like a TV screen. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also like the aspect ratio changing and you see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is super fun. I'm going to read here. They use multiple aspect ratios. The 1950s to 70s episodes are framed in 4:3 to replicate the boxy feel of early televisions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then this will be fun to watch. The 80s to 2010s episodes are in full frame 16:9 for the modern TV format. And the scenes that were outside of the show were shot in that classic letterbox look that's so prevalent in cinematic blockbusters.
Ooh.
So that's fun that we're going to get up to the 2010s. I wasn't expecting that.
I'm excited.
Me too.
Okay, so the budget for each episode, Jesus Christ, was $25 million.
Oh my God, that seems really unnecessary.
That seems fully unnecessary. But honestly, I guess it was. They did a good job. They used every fucking penny.
But even the first episode, it's like it's just shot on a soundstage.
It makes it the most expensive television series in history upon release. It was reported that the fourth season of Stranger Things had a budget of $30 million per episode.
But do you think each kid's getting $2 million?
I
hope not.
That seems wild.
I hope not.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot.
It's a lot of money.
The show establishes Scarlet Witch as the strongest and most powerful member of the Avengers, a theory supported by Kevin Feige. However, Brie Larson has argued in interviews that Captain Marvel is actually the strongest character in the MCU.
I would say based on the ending of this and also Doctor Strange, I'm on board with the Wanda being the strongest.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I feel like if Kevin Feige were to say someone is the strongest, I probably wouldn't go, no, my character was, but I don't know.
You already have the job. I'm going to say whatever I want. Yeah. No, Kevin, it's me.
Just progressively every single person who's played an Avenger comes forward. It's like, actually, it's Ant-Man.
Oh, wait, maybe Brie Larson is like, Captain Marvel doesn't have as much baggage to hold.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there is a lot of emotional baggage.
With Wanda. She's like super clear headed all the time. So that makes her a little stronger.
Yeah. But once Wanda finds herself a good therapist, starts a good meds regimen. Yeah, she'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's time for our segment. Is Chris in this? This is a segment where we simply answer if a Chris was in this show. And was any of our main Chris's in this? No.
Mm-mm. No.
And should any Chris be in this film? Maybe not one of the four Chris's. It could be, again, Christine Baranski, I think, would fit right in.
She would fit in.
Absolutely.
She comes up all the time.
Also, Chris Kattan. This could have been his comeback. Put him in. Put him in, coach.
I would have been thrilled to see that.
This segment is kiss in this? Was there a kiss in here?
Did they kiss Vision and Wanda?
I feel like maybe a peck.
Yeah, it was very chaste sitcom kissing. Yeah. It was implied that they did a little more than kissing when she magicked their beds together.
Signify, like, get over here, baby.
Well, yeah, it was to like signify the change of in the 50s, they always slept in separate twin beds. And then, in the later 60s into the 70s, finally married couples were allowed to sleep in the same bed in sitcoms. And, they pulled the covers up over their head and there was a little fade to black. So,
yeah, we can assume. Yeah.
They be fucking.
Okay, well, that's great for them. I'm so happy. Now it's time for our segment, Five Star Industries. This is the segment where we read positive reviews about our own show. This one comes from Chris Wright.
I really love when you phrase it like that. It's so funny to me.
It comes from Chris Wright 65. Five stars, wig review podcast. I look forward to hearing Nicole's review of the wigs in each movie. Would rate 6 out of 5 if I could. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. The wigs in this were, I thought, really great.
Yeah, I really like the 70s wigs, particularly.
Yeah, me too. Those were
really
cool.
I will say the hairline on Wanda is not great, but the part is very good.
And when she gets wet, you see it,
you're like, oh no. But yeah. She blow dries it rather quickly with powers, and I was like on board again. And then what is her name? Monica Rambeau?
Yes, the character. Yeah.
All
Tiana
of her
Harris.
Hair looked really good. They did her very nice. She was very kind in the hair trailer. And they said, we will do
we
you
like you. And
right.
You...
yeah.
Okay. So in addition to Apple reviews, we're also going to read reviews from Letterboxd. And if you don't know what that is, sorry. So here's... sorry. And then we're going to give like a star review. Okay. So this Letterboxd review is by Emma. Emma said, how is the MCU able to sustain itself for so long without the presence of Catherine Hahn? Okay.
Uh-huh. They gave it 4.5.
Yeah.
And then this one is from Andrea. Mom, the multi-billion dollar corporation is making me cry again.
That's funny.
Aww. Wow. Okay. I can't wait till it makes me cry. Emma.
Yeah. I did not write that review about Catherine Hahn, but...
Seems like you did, Emma.
Agree with it strongly, though it was not actually me. It was an extension of myself with the same name as me.
What is your one-sentence review and star rating for WandaVision, Emma? And then we'll go around the room.
Goodness. My one-sentence review is sad woman use power to make life happy, learns big lessons about grief. 5 stars.
Love it. I think I would say... surprises at every turn. You think it's going one way, but then it goes the other. 4.5 stars. I'm almost gonna give it 5. I just don't know. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
I think I'm at 4 stars. And my review is good wigs, great wigs, spectacular wigs.
Yeah.
Storyline good for me too.
Mm-hmm.
We'll watch more. Can you even?
Yeah, wow. Yeah. I mean, I can't even, honestly. I'm shocked at the way this has gone.
Yeah.
I'm blown away. I'm absolutely flabbergasted. I don't feel like we have one more film to watch, and I'm like, it's not going to top how we feel about this, I don't believe.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Shocked.
What film do you have left?
The Eternals.
The Eternals.
Oh, yeah, it's not going to top this. Wigs, not as good.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So set the bar low. Yeah.
I was going to ask Nicole, how many stars does something get for you if it, like, do you give an automatic star for good wigs?
Well, I haven't really been giving stars based on wigs, just like gut feelings.
Yeah.
But most of the Avengers movies I didn't like, except for Endgame and Infinity War.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, Scarlett Johansson's wig in that really, really made me upset.
Yeah.
And I might watch, what's her, who is she? Black Widow. No, Black Widow. I might watch that movie just to see what they do with the wigs.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious. I was going to watch it on a plane and then I was like, I couldn't possibly watch it right now.
No.
I have to watch HGTV.
I was
just on Delta.
HGTV is really the answer for flights. Mm-hmm. I've found.
Yes.
All right. Well, everyone out there, please, please write us a review on Apple Podcasts and give us 5 stars because that's what you want to do. And we'll pick another one to read on the next episode. And please rate us on Spotify. Please.
Please.
Please. Oh, my God.
And also, if you have any criticisms, please tweet them at me.
Okay, great.
I do enjoy reading
them.
Leave Lauren out of it, but tell me what you're mad about this week.
Love it.
What did I miss?
Oh, my God. Emma, we are so happy to have you today. Thank you for doing this. Is there anything you would like to plug?
Yeah, sure. I'm in the upcoming, I'm not sure when this episode's airing. The season's probably airing at this point of actually, I don't know what season it is. It's many seasons in, but the new one starts July 5th. I'm
amazing.
On sometime this season. So, you know, follow me on Twitter at Emma Fife to know about that. And then, we're streaming video games on the fandom Twitch channel now. So that's twitch.tv/fandom. And we're there every Thursday playing games, 3:00 p.m. Pacific time. So
amazing.
Come see us.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
thank
you.
Well, we'll be back next week with Spider-Man Far From Home. So I guess what I said was not
incorrect. Well, listen, we are watching them in a funky order, but releasing them in release order? I don't know. What are we doing?
We are releasing these out of order, but technically, this does take place before Far From Home because this is taking place right after Endgame, and you'll see.
Okay.
Oh,
summer,
yeah.
It's a summer vacation.
See.
You know what's going on, and we don't need to know what's going on.
There we go.
Someone's got this covered.
But yeah, Far From Home did come out in 2019, and then there was no Marvel Studios content for a full year because of the pandemic. And then WandaVision was 2021.
Got it.
Wow. Really slowed them down.
A bit.
Got it. Well, amazing. Thank you so much, Emma. And
thank you.
We will see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye.
Was a HeadGum original.